was little, like maybe when I was 10, my dad was teaching the workshops. Yeah. So I'd watch him teach the Raspberry Pi workshops and I'd volunteer to help him. And over time, I just kind of took over.
Welcome to the Open at Intel podcast, where we're all about open source, from software to security to innovation and beyond. I'm your host, Catherine Druckmann, an open source evangelist at Intel, bringing you leading-edge, free-ranging conversations from some of the best minds in the open source community. Let's get into it.
I recently spoke with Cassandra Chin, a rather impressive college student and instructor at KubeCon's Kids Day. She shares her experience teaching kids about technology through workshops, including a Raspberry Pi workshop. I think you'll be as inspired as I was.
Thanks, Cassandra. First of all, it's very nice to meet you, and I appreciate you coming over and taking a little time out of KubeCon to talk to me.
I'm very happy to be here. My name is Cassandra Chin, and I'm actually a college student, and I was at the CNCF Kids Day as one of the instructors.
First, let me say that's really inspiring, and it kind of warms my cold, dead heart to know that there is an next generation coming up to help sustain all of this complex ecosystem that some of us have had a small part in building over the last several decades. And here we are, and we're kind of running the world on open source software, and we need people like you to kind of take over at some point, frankly. So we all appreciate that. So tell us a little bit about your role and what you did during the Kids Day programming.
The CNCF Kids Day is really special to me because they bring in a lot of kids. There were actually over 100 kids who came to the event, and it happened the weekend before KubeCon. So for my workshop, I was teaching the kids Raspberry Pis.
Oh, cool.
And I taught them how to do some programming and some hardware wiring. And I had it themed after Fippy, the really lovable giraffe mascot.
Oh, yeah. I was recently introduced to the Fippy and Friends series. I guess I knew. Okay, so full disclosure, I did receive a Captain Cube Lego set a while ago, although I was not completely plugged into the whole universe of Fippy and Friends, which is more extensive than I had originally realized. So that's very cool. So tell me a little bit about the project. Were you teaching like soldering, or were you like how nerdy did you get?
So the materials for the workshop is a Raspberry Pi, and we give them a breadboard and some wires. For sensors, we have a button, a light sensor, and an accelerometer.
Okay.
So we give them those tools, and they have to play a game on the Raspberry Pi. It comes with a little touchscreen.
Oh, uh-huh.
So the story is Fippy and his friends are on Captain Cube's ship, and they run into a ship crash.
Okay.
And so they get stranded on an island. And while they're on the island, the pods, they're holding containers, and inside the containers are apps, and those are Fippy's friends. So the pods run away with Fippy's friends. So the goal of the workshop is to control Fippy and rescue all of Fippy's friends. So the kids play this little game on the Raspberry Pi, and when they first initially get it booted and play the game, it's actually impossible to win, because they run around and try to catch the pods on screen. It's all pixel art, but the pods are too fast. So over the course of the workshop, we give them tools. So the first tool we give the kids is a button, and that gives Fippy a whistle. So the whistle will call the pods over, but only two of them.
Okay.
There's actually six pods in total. And that lets Fippy rescue two of his friends. And the first two of the friends are Z the zebra and Goldie the go-gopher.
Okay, yep.
So to actually get the button working, it's not that simple. They have to wire the button into the breadboard. And once they do have it wired correctly, it still doesn't work. It just shows on screen okay. That the button is pressed. So after we have it wired, we actually get the kids to code. So we use Nano. It's a pretty low-level editor.
Yeah.
So we have them go down and write one line of code. And they have to write that line and save it, exit the program, and run the game.
That's really cool. Tell me a little bit about the kids who attend the workshop. What age range?
The youngest kid we had was actually 8. And the oldest would be probably early high school.
Okay.
But the ideal age is around middle school age.
Okay. And were most of the kids there because their parents are in the industry? Or do you find kids coming here kind of getting their parents to bring them on their own volition, really? Like, they're interested independently of their parents.
I think specifically for the kids stay here, it was their parents who got the kids to bring them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like,
I would think at an event like that.
I've taught other kids workshops where they actually talk to the schools and bus in underprivileged kids.
Okay.
And that's what I hope we can do at next KubeCon.
That would be fantastic. I wonder, I should preface this by saying that I have a weird fondness for Raspberry Pi also. Like, I have quite a collection. I have some Pi Zeros. You know, we all have a drawer full somewhere, right? But how did you get into, or did you design this program, this workshop yourself? Or were you with a group? Or how did that come about?
When I was little, like maybe when I was 10, mm-hmm. my dad was teaching the workshops.
Yeah.
So I'd watch him teach the Raspberry Pi workshops and like I'd volunteer to help him. And over time, I just kind of took over.
Oh, that's very cool.
And I also wrote the new content for the Fippy theme.
Okay. What was it before?
It has evolved a lot. It started as Mary Had a Little Lambdas, where you'd herd sheep.
Okay.
Eventually it moved into a zombie theme, so you'd be a zombie and burn in the sunlight.
That's funny.
And the third theme was Pokemon, where you have to catch Pokemon. And now we're on Fitbit.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know, to kind of really plug into this ecosystem. A little brand consistency, I guess. So tell me a little bit more. Tell me about what you do. What are you studying?
So I'm actually getting a degree in computer science, and I go to Colorado State University Global. And I'm doing an online program, so I get to go to cool conferences and still study and do my homework remotely.
That's pretty cool. Tell me about the other people who volunteer at the Kids Day.
The CNCF staff events team actually helps us a lot. Like, they get the kids in, they handle the registration desk, and they do all the hard stuff. But for other volunteers, we had Hippie Hacker help us. He brings in his folks. And they're volunteer, and they actually helped with my workshop personally. And we have other people from other companies just drop in a day earlier before KubeCon and volunteer for the workshops.
Cool. So do you plan on doing this at the next KubeCon, or even are you doing this in Paris?
Yeah, I'll be doing this in Paris.
Oh, fantastic.
I plan on doing a new AI/ML workshop.
I was about to ask when AI was going to come into this equation. Everybody wants to talk about AI and work with it. Tell me about that.
Right now, kids are just abusing ChatGPT to do their homework.
Okay.
So I think they're actually already into AI because they're actually using it every day. So they'll be excited to learn. I found this website, which it's for teaching kids how to use AI/ML, and it integrates with Scratch. Scratch is that block coding program, which is famous for teaching kids how to program.
That's really funny that you mentioned that, because I was chatting with a group of my nerdy friends, and two of them were talking about how their kids were programming things with Scratch.
So if the kids already know how to Scratch, or it's easy to learn how to use Scratch, they can use the AI integration to actually write their own AI/ML programs. So say, for example, you want to write a Scratch program, and you have some pictures of a happy face and a sad face, and when you enter into the text box a compliment, like, I'm happy today, I like you, I'm going to the movies, then the face will show a happy image. And when you start insulting the face, it'll be sad.
It's pretty
cute. So if you want that as your Scratch program, you go into the separate website for the AI/ML, and you have to actually write the algorithm which can make that possible. So for the algorithm itself, the kids can create a happy box and a sad box, and they write in lots and lots of different kinds of compliments in the happy box, and the sad box, lots of sad things and events. And once they have feed in lots of data, the website will turn that into a little Scratch box, and you can use that in your Scratch programs.
So here's a question. Let's say I'm a kid, I'm 12 years old, and I attend your workshop. What happens next? What happens when I go home? Are there resources that are connected to the Kids Day that can help me continue learning about these things that I've picked up at the event?
So we actually plan on writing a book to help connect kids once they leave the workshop. It'll be a Fippy book, and it will be related to the workshop content. And it might be a little different, just so it's more easily accessible, so they can share that book with their friends and family and schools. It'll be like a 30-page, colorful children's book.
Do you see the same kids returning year after year to participate and kind of forming their own community?
We get separate, different kids each time. Like, each time we return, they're a little older.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my workshops mainly focus on introducing kids. Like,
right,
it's to get
right.
them interested.
So after that, it wouldn't be something they would come back to.
But maybe they'll get themselves engaged in a different program.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually pursue computer science later. So we're just really sparking that fire in them.
What kind of other options are there for kids? Like, let's say I'm coming to KubeCon and I bring a child. What options do I have, or do the kids have for activities at different skill levels or in different interest areas?
I think right now, unfortunately, Kids Day is the only event specifically targeted for kids. I mean, it's always a good...
So is it a single activity then?
Oh, Kids Day happens a day before the conference.
Right.
And it's just a day dedicated to the kids. They book special rooms and the workshop is held. They serve lunch to the kids.
And it's only a single workshop.
So for this event specifically, it was in the morning, maybe from like 8 to 12. Each workshop runs for like 2 hours.
Okay.
And we had two workshops.
Two workshops, okay.
But the kids attend two workshops, but they're for workshops in total.
Okay, and what are those different workshops about?
My workshop was the Raspberry Pi workshop with Fippy.
Mm-hmm.
There was also a Minecraft modding workshop.
Ah, okay.
And there was a Scratch workshop and a Sonic Pi workshop, which is like, it involves music.
That sounds pretty fun. So what do you see yourself doing when you graduate?
I think when I graduate, I probably want to work for a technology company. I just want to gain a good basic coding foundation and become a developer. And once I become a developer who can code, then maybe I can extend that and branch out.
What's your favorite language?
I actually know the most Java, but
really?
I don't want to pick a favorite.
Okay.
I want to be open.
That's a good approach, I think. Interesting that you mentioned Java. Okay. What do you like to build the most? When you're programming, what are the solutions you like to come up with?
Well, like, I programmed the game for the Raspberry Pi workshop, so that's just creating a puzzle for the kids to solve.
Do you see yourself going into maybe working for a gaming company? Would that interest you?
Personally, I don't, because there's actually a lot of companies out there which all need technology roles, and even companies which you don't seem technical at all, they also need technical people.
Sure.
Like, take maybe Walmart, for example. You have the cashier and the item inventory system. There's technology everywhere.
Of course, yeah. Would you prefer to stay in the open source world once you go into the workplace?
I do enjoy open source software, but I'm not locking myself in on anything.
Okay.
But I'm open to it.
Okay. So I'm curious. You know, I talk to a lot of people who do different types of work, and I've done open source software and proprietary software for very varying amounts of time. And I wonder what your thoughts, as a younger person, as somebody who's just getting started, still in college, what are your thoughts on open source and community development and sort of the ideals behind open source software? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I really like open source. Just the idea of anyone can contribute and it's not really locked into money or enterprise. So I think the people who work on open source have a stronger passion. But
yeah.
Enterprise software is still necessary. I think money kind of keeps the world going.
Sure,
so it's
sure,
necessary
sure.
too.
Well, and to be fair, open source can be a big part of enterprise software as well. And like you say, money does keep things going. It pays the bills. Yeah, I think you have a pretty practical approach. I respect that. What else are you excited about in technology, aside from coding? Are you into 3D printing or fabrication or anything else along those lines?
We actually do own some 3D printers at home.
Yeah.
So we have a few of the Ultimakers.
Those are cool, yeah.
I like going on Thingiverse and just picking out some models and printing it. And it sounds easy to take someone else's work and to print it, but I usually run into a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Have you ever been to the conference called SCALE, SoCal Linux Expo?
No, I haven't.
They have a kids program too, I think. Anyway, last year, or this past year, I went to a session all about an open source 3D modeling tool for, you know, modifying your designs for 3D printing. I thought it was really interesting. One of my favorite things, I think, about going to open source conferences is dabbling, right? You go to a session about something you didn't think you were even interested in, and suddenly you're interested. Have you seen anything like that recently that inspired you to get interested in something new?
Personally, I feel like a lot of sessions are tailored for adults who are already in the industry.
That's fair.
So, like, I'm interested in the technologies, but the way they explain the technology can be tricky for me to understand sometimes.
Sure.
I just need them to, like, dub the terminology down a little.
That's fair. Yeah, I agree. I agree, actually. They should do that for the rest of us, too.
I actually dub the terminology down a lot when I teach kids workshops. So I'm hoping when I grow up, I can bring that to probably even the adults. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't completely understand what they're talking about when they present.
That is an astute observation, and I would say maybe you might want to look into developer advocacy and evangelism, because that is part of the job, is to simplify ideas and communicate them and to make the complex a little bit more digestible. Sounds like you might be good at that.
I actually got myself into a little bit of developer advocacy because I taught my first actual adult session in Morocco this year, just like a couple months ago.
Fantastic.
My session was about teaching the adults how they can teach their kids to get into technology. Since I have a lot of experience with kids workshops.
Is that something that's available online that you could point people to?
I don't think they recorded it.
Oh, that's a shame.
But I plan on speaking in more conferences this year.
Fantastic. Well, you'll have to send me a link to where you post those, and I'll post them on the description here. Is there anything else that you wanted to share that I didn't get to? Anything you want to plug? Your next workshop in Paris, perhaps?
So I'll be doing my next workshop in Paris. I'll be doing the new AIML workshop, and hopefully I'll have a book to go along with it so kids can spread the word.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Cassandra. I've really enjoyed this. You've inspired me a little bit. Now I think I want to go bust out the Raspberry Pi and see what I can make at home when I get home. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Open at Intel. Be sure to check out more from the Open at Intel podcast at open.intel.com/podcast and at Open at Intel on Twitter. We hope you join us again next time to geek out about open source.